18, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings and goodness. And help us in our gathering tonight, and just minister to us by your Spirit. We need you every day, every hour, every moment. Lord, without you, this work is not done. You do it, Father. We can do nothing without you. And so we look to you just to help us. And as we continue to minister here together as your church in Corvallis, Mid Valley Baptist Church, and Father, help us to get the gospel out. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to learn and grow. And bless our service tonight, and help me in ministering that which you have given for me for the church tonight. And so, Father, we pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. We ask you to bless the fair upcoming. Father, give us open doors, opportunities to share the gospel. Father, even now, bring those things into people's hearts and lives that will be driving them to a decision, that will be channeling them to a place for them to realize their need, God, that they might be ever aware of that. And Father, we pray you'd work in mighty and miraculous ways. We think of the day that we got saved, the day that someone told us, dear God, and might that be the day for many at the fair, that they'd find salvation in you and leave changed for all eternity. And so we pray and ask it in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, I mentioned that I wanted to just take a moment, just kind of go through the fair board there. So we'll bring it up front here. So, and I also have some copies of the book. Can you pass those out for me, please, sir? Thank you. In case you didn't bring yours with you, you might want to, something might come to mind, want to make a note or something. Now, I may not go exactly word for word according to that, and you may not either when you do it. That's fine, okay? That's something that, by the way, if you want to memorize that, that's fine too. Go right down through it. There's nothing wrong with that, and that's fine too. But that is an outline. Just kind of okay. I am going to try to do it very close to that, so that would be helpful. I'm trying to do it by memory, so, and I have memorized that particular thing, so I'll be exactly according to that. All right, so drawing people in, and I'll call Brother Biden here in just a minute, but drawing people in to the booth so that we can witness to them. We're not allowed to lasso them. No, we tried all these things the first time. We got eight and nine years. We're not allowed to lasso them. You can't stick your foot out to them as you run by. We're not allowed to go out and block the hall, you know, as they're walking through. We can't wander out into the crowd as they're coming and try to get their attention. But there is something that they use to draw them, and it's a big smile. Just have a big smile. See, I'm scared of that smile anyway. Yes. Just have a big smile on your face, and be smiling at them, and have you seen the three things that God cannot do? Look, make eye contact with them. Have you seen the three things God cannot do? And you'll draw people in. By the way, we're already praying, people will be praying. That will draw them in, okay? So we're not just spending on your big smile, my big smile, okay? But listen, that helps, amen. We don't want to be resistant to the people's prayers. And I'm not going to that person. My wife used to say, I was sitting behind the pastor when I was a deacon in a church in Florida. She looked at me, I was sitting in the chair behind the pastor looking at the crowd, and she would go, smile, you know. You're happy, tell your face, okay? There's one smile, and draw people in. Yeah. So, what was that?
If you're not, lie to it. Lie to your face. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not wise. Yes. Yeah. Amen. All right. So I'm gonna have Brother Brian come up just as he was one coming by, and I'll just go through this as best I can remember it, and we'll see how that is. Hello, sir. Have you seen the three things that God cannot do?
No, I have not.
Well, let me take a minute to show you that. You haven't have any guesses as to what they might be?
The camera trying to guess too.
Oh, you have to use the camera.
It's empty on course already.
Yeah, he knows. Yeah. Let me show you. Okay. The first thing is, by the way, a lot of times you'll get, there's nothing that God can't do. Like that, they'll be saying something again, but and your response will be, well, the Bible says there's some things that God can't do. But the first, well, here's one thing that God cannot do. He says in Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And actually, I did that wrong again, so I'm doing everything. Tonight, I'll show you everything we do wrong. We just do, okay? So we let them open the doors so they can see. That's part of the fun. We'll open the first doors and we'll see. We let them open the doors. So it's, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore sons of Jacob are not consumed." So God cannot change. It's a person that God cannot change. All right? You see the second thing that God cannot do?
Of eternal life is God that cannot lie. God is before the world began.
Ah, so God cannot change and God cannot lie, the Bible tells us. And then there's another thing that the Bible tells us that God cannot do.
Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
So God cannot let anyone be into heaven unless they've been born again. And born again simply means that you're saved and you know that you're on your way to heaven. Let me ask you, are you 100% sure that if you die today that you'd go to heaven?
Well, I'm a good person.
That's good. I think we all should try to be good. But again, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven?
I guess not.
Okay. Well, did you know that the Bible tells you that you can't be sure? It says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that they believe on the name of the Son of God." And so, could I just take a moment and show you how you know for sure you'll be in heaven when you die? Okay, so now on that basis, when I already had the Bible open when I went to John 1 John 5:13. So now it's already in the flow. I'm ready to go through the Bible. It's not. I could have just quoted that without thinking. But now I've got the Bible already open, so it's kind of like he's gonna make me close my Bible and say no, or we're gonna continue. You see, that's why I kind of like opening it first and letting it read that out of the Bible as I'm quoting and reading it. So he said sure. So all right. And have your Bible marked in Romans. Let me just show you, just very quickly, how you can know for sure that you need heaven when you die. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 10. Don't be nervous, it takes a little while to turn through the pages and find it. Romans 3:10. Says, "As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one." And then Romans 3:23 here says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." To sin and come short of the glory of God simply means we haven't all kept God's commandments. We've not kept God's commandments. And the Bible says there's a punishment for sin. Let me show you what that is. In 6:23 is next on the list, isn't it? So there's a punishment for sin. And in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says what that is. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. So wages is something that we earn. So the Bible says what we earn for our sin is death. Now, that's not just talking about a physical death, because even Jesus, who never sinned, died a physical death. But that's talking about a second death or a spiritual death. And I'll show you that in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. The Bible says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So the Bible says there's a second death. Now, there's a lot of sins listed there, and we may not have committed all those. We certainly have committed, you know, some of them. How many people do you have to kill to be a murderer?
I suppose just one.
So kill one person makes you a murderer, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, remember, God cannot lie. So in God's holy eyes, how many lies do you have to tell to be a liar?
Just one
lie would make us a liar compared to the holy God, wouldn't it? So when we think about that, if that was all the Bible said about eternity, where would you have to go when you die?
Why, I'd have to go to the lake of fire.
Do you believe that?
Okay.
All right. That's the difficult news. That's the bad news for us. Well, let me show you the good news. I'm glad certainly we want to stop there. I want to show you the good news. We'll go back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Or actually, Romans 1:16 is what I mentioned on there. Romans 1:16, it shows us how we can know how we can be forgiven of our sins. In Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So the Bible says that through the gospel we can get saved. It's through the power of the gospel. And the gospel is found, given very plainly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. I'll show you what that says. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, and I'll just I read verses 1 and then verses 3 and 4. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached," Paul was writing here, "which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Look what he declared. Verse 3 says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So the gospel, Brian, is that Christ died for our sins, just like the Bible says, and he rose again. According to his burial, he rose again the third day. And that's good news. If you look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So Christ died in our place. He died for us. And then in Romans 6:23, where we started, Romans 6:23, the second half of the verse says, we saw the first part, the wages of sin is death. Second part says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, there's only two things that you can do with a gift. You can either receive it or reject it. And you can't earn a gift. If you had to pay for it, it wouldn't be a gift. And the Bible says that eternal life is a gift. And so we can receive it as a gift. We must receive it as a gift. And I'll show you what God, how to do that. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says this: "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So, Brian, God has shown us that we're sinners and that we're worthy of hell, that he has sent his Son to die for us and rise again. And if we just call upon him and ask him to forgive us and save us, that he will save us. I'd like to lead you in a prayer right now. If you'd like to be saved, would you like to be But let me the legitimate prayer so that you can be saved and trust Christ as your Savior.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to do that, Ryan. Now, I'll pray this prayer, and you just pray after me. If you mean these words from your heart to God, then God will hear you, and he'll save you. Would you bow your head and just pray with this one? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. But I believe that you died for me and rose again. I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me and save me. Thank you, Jesus. For saving me. Ryan, did you mean that with all your heart? And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. It's that simple. And then we'll have some verses there, or we'll talk with them there, and we'll give them some assurance verses, John 5:24 and such, and do that. So I hope that was helpful. Now listen, some you haven't done this kind of thing before. I understand that. So we're not saying that. I want you to thank you for the Bible. Brother Brian, he was easy on me. Most of them you're going to be. Well, I mean, you're asking them if they're wanting to go through the Bible, they've already said they wanted to. So by the way, by the time when God's working that much, remember it's all God anyway. It's not you and I, okay? God's going to work it out. Usually the person's saved before you get to the prayer. Once you've read it, gone through those verses, God's working on the heart. The Holy Spirit showed them they're a sinner, and God's kind of leading you along afterwards to confirm it in our ears so that we can hear it. You know what I'm saying? Someone may say in the middle of that, well, what about evolution? That's a good question. And if you're reminded about that, when we're done, we'll come back to that. Remember when we had the lesson the first time? And I said that. That's a good question. Nobody here asked me, well, what do you say if someone says that? You know why? Because you forgot about it. and they probably will too, okay? But by the way, if they come back to you and you have the answer, if they remember that at the end and they get saved or whatever, and then they, well, what about that? Well, if you have the answer, well, obviously tell them. If you don't have the answer, I don't know the answer right now.
You'll be there. You'll be there.
Yes, I'll be there, and I may not have the answer either. Yeah. So, but if none of us have the answer, we'll tell him. Well, we'll get back if you give us a contact. Give us something. We can send you a text or something. We'll find out what the answer is and get back to you. So we can give him the answer. Great. If we can't, we'll get back to him with it. But put it off. Put it to the side. We're not discussing any other issues because really, if they're not saved, and they don't want to go through this, what's the sense of talking with someone about evolution? You know what I'm saying? What's the sense of talking with somebody about whatever qualm they have with the Bible? We're there to be a witness and to just give the simple gospel and that people would be saved. Looking for those that God's working on, that God's drawing, and we're not going to force somebody into heaven, okay? It's not going to happen. It'll be God working and God drawing them in. Any questions or Sylvia? Yes.
And then the Catholics believe in being born again. That's one in the church.
Yeah.
So if they tell you that they have been born again, they're Catholic, and they have been born again, what would be your answer?
I would say what hopefully we'll get the Catholics is when you, because you kind of say that born again means being saved and know that you're on your way to heaven. And the next question is what gets the Catholics. Are you 100% sure that you go to heaven when you die? Because they're not going to say that. Because they're trying to work their way through the seven sacraments, and they don't know about that. So that's what'll get them, and hopefully that's what will let them lead you, lead you to the Bible. And by the way, I will be there again, and I may slip out when there's three people or something there just to get a break, once in a while, but. But I'll be there, and if you take them through this part, you may be able, I can take them through the salvation part. I'm not saying because you're at the board, that person that comes now, every person you get, you got to take and lead. I'm not saying that. When we have three people there, there's a couple of places I have marked on our schedule there that more help, welcome or something like that, on the schedule there, helps welcome anytime. But I put the only place I put more help welcome where we have a large span where there's only two people there. And that those are the ones that I put more help welcome there. You're welcome other times, but if there's three people there, you'll obviously be able to listen to the other one. If someone's led to the Lord, one person can listen. And maybe something you want to listen to a few times, and do that. And so certainly I want you to feel I don't want you to feel like I signed up with the Pharisee, so I have to take someone through. No, that's not the case. I don't want you to be afraid. I want it to be a learning experience for you, a praying experience for you, and God will help you. And so I don't want you to feel pressured in that way, okay? So I'll be there. I'm scheduled to be there all the time, so I'll be there to help you. My wife will be there to help you at some of the times that she's there. So Brother Dennis is going to be there too, and Brother Brian for a good part of Saturday. So there's people there, that can help you. So, all right. Any other questions or fears? Yes, honey.
So on here you have that it's, here's how you can know, on the second page, here is how you can know the ABCs of salvation. Is that something that you say?
Yeah, you know what, I skipped that.
And you didn't.
And you can say that if you, I didn't do it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was just on there for
us, or
that's something we could say.
Yeah, you can say that. You can show the ABCs of salvation. Admit you're a sinner, believe the gospel, and call upon Jesus to save you. You can say, let me just show you the ABCs of being saved. And before, those steps, first admit you're a sinner. And then, of course, Romans 1:16 would come. Then here's the second part, believe the gospel. And then Romans 10:13, and here's C, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So if you want to add that, you can. I knew I was going to forget that because a lot of people use that all the time. I've been out of the habit of using that. I just don't. There's a simple plan of salvation called the ABCs of salvation, and that's a good one too. But good question. Yeah. Yes. Any other? Yeah.
There's also in the prayer part, you skipped a section in it about that I'm sorry for my sins, and then you didn't say as best I know how.
Yeah.
And you didn't. You didn't put in there that I place my trust in your death, burial, and resurrection as the payment for
right.
my sin.
Yes. Yes.
How important is that to what would be the key things you don't want to leave out of that verse?
Key things you don't want to leave out. Well, they're asking Christ to forgive them and save them. That's the main thing. The sincerity and all that, it's either going to be there or it's not. You know what I'm saying? So that would be really the only key thing, because you've already been clear through the presentation. They've already said, they know they believe they'd go to hell if they die. They've already recognized that Jesus, that God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins and rise again. I don't remember. I don't hear my word saying his perfect son. I don't know that I, stress his sinlessness, which is something I left out that you probably wouldn't want to leave out but through the presentation, I want to put that in there about how God's perfect son died for our sins and rose again. Most people associate the fact that he's the son of God. And that he came to earth, and he sent his son, that he's not a sinner, but he's all he says he is, but that would be good saying is, referring to Jesus is perfect, would be a good thing to put in. When you mention Jesus, God sent his perfect son to die for our sins and rise again. Good, that's good. Thank you for that. Any others? Stephanie.
So when you do ask them, do you believe that you would go to hell?
Yeah.
That part.
Yeah.
what do you do if, number one, they say no?
Yeah.
And then what do you do if they say, I don't know if I believe it?
Yeah. I'd say, well, all right, well, I wouldn't, because the fact is, they have to be, what are they being saved from? I mean, if there's no hell, Paul said, go eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So if, you know, if Christ is only for, if they don't, because here's the thing about the way we, I was noticing that about the way we put this, the way this is addressed. There are different beliefs on hell. We don't go into the detail. There's people that believe that hell, we believe hell is eternal, and we let that the Bible teaches. There's people that believe that hell is just you go to a holding place, and then at the great white throne judgment, you're cast into a lake of fire and disintegrated. There's people that believe that. But we didn't go into the difference there. See what I'm saying? So they either have to believe one if they're going to believe the Bible. They're either going to believe that you go to eternal hell, or they have to believe you're going to a lake of fire. That's what the Bible says, one way or the other. And so that implies something more than most people believe, just believe about death. You know, you're not just going away. When you die, if you're not saved, you're going into a lake of fire. We believe eternally, and I believe the Bible teaches eternally. Some people believe you just pulled up at the great white throne judgment, then throw it in and you're consumed, but that's not what the Bible teaches. But they're confronted with the fact of something that's going to happen to me after I die.
So if they say no or they don't know, what would you say?
They say no or I don't know, I would say, well, I would ask you maybe to pray and ask God to help you understand that, because God wants to save you from hell. But if you don't know if you believe in that, then there's nothing for God to say. He wants to save you. God wants to save you from your sins. God wants to save you from the penalty of your sin. And if you don't believe you have any penalty for your sin, you know, then there's nothing to be saved from. So I would just ask him, you know, it wouldn't be wise for me to go any further because the Bible calls for faith. And we have to believe the things the Bible says.
And they'll probably just leave on their own.
And they'll probably just leave on their own after that. Says, you know, well, you know, there's, you know, it wouldn't be, God wouldn't want me to go any further because salvation requires faith. And we have to believe, first of all, that we're lost before we can be saved. So however you want to phrase that, they've got to believe that they're condemned and on their way to hell before they can be saved.
But then there are some that are good people.
Yeah.
They tell you that they're good people.
Yes.
Then
right.
Then you have to do the right kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think even
there.
Go through the Ten Commandments thing. Yeah. There you go. See, and if you know stuff like that, yeah. You're not tied to that, to what I gave you. You know, whatever you've learned and the Spirit is used in you and helping others to learn the Bible, whatever the Spirit you know leads you. You know, Ray Comfort has some good stuff on that. And you can use that to help people. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always like Romans. What is it? Romans. What's none doeth good? No, not one. Which was that? Romans 3:10. Yeah, as written, there's none righteous, no, not
no,
one.
Oh,
no,
3:23.
No, is that it?
No.
Let's look it up real quick.
What is
Romans 3:10. There's nothing to do with good, no, not one.
None righteous, no, not one.
Yeah, but that's not the one I'm looking for. Let's look on farther down. Romans 1. Let's see. It's farther on down, I think, in that same chapter. There's nothing to do with good, no, not one.
There is none that understandeth.
There it is. None understandeth. There's nothing to do with. Let's see. Romans 3. Let's see. Romans 3. Oh, I'm in John. That's not going to help. Romans 3. Oh, there we go. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together becoming profitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans 3:12. Just the end of Romans 3:12. Just a couple of verses down there. Because you'll be in Romans 3:10, so you could just, you know, go in there. So go right down to there. I actually had that one marked in my Bible as well.
And it might be a matter of degrees between well, good person, well, what is the standard of good?
Yes.
Good design.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Compare good to what we think is good.
Right.
Good.
Yeah.
Compare goodness to what God is.
Right. And Romans 3:23 kind of wraps that all up. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God's standard. So, doesn't matter how much you failed it by, none of us have made the standard. We haven't kept the commandments of God. So, if you want for your own self to add James on there, the book of James, where he says, if any man offend the law at one point, he is guilty of all. I don't remember the address of the verse right now, but in James, you'll find that in James. If we offend the law at one point, he is guilty of all. James, do you have that memorized? 2:10? James 2:10 is a good one. So the law comes as a package deal. it's good. Any other questions or concerns?
Goodbye. I would just point out too that there are a lot of checkpoints in this too. It's, you get to a certain point where somebody doesn't believe that they've sinned, well, that's a checkpoint.
That's a checkpoint, yeah.
If they don't believe in hell, that's another checkpoint.
Yes.
So there's a lot of places, and it's set up like Pastor said, it's, you can't make something that's it.
Right. Right. Yes. Of the people that I've led to the Lord, I never had to fight one to the Lord. The impression was always was, wow, that was too easy. It was like, you know, did I really tell them everything? Did they really have all the information before they prayed? That was my reckoning, is going back over it in my own head. It was never, man, that was a tough one. And that was never the case. You'll see when somebody's ready to be saved, it's God's doing, not yours or mine. It's just the word, and we're sharing the gospel. That Romans 1:16, it is the power of God into salvation, and we give them the gospel right there in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, verses 1 and 3 especially. That's the gospel. Christ died for our sins and rose again, and believe, you know, it's the power of God into salvation to everyone that believeth. And so that's that power. That's the message. You know, and people that God's working on. And who in our country doesn't know who Jesus is, okay? And doesn't know, there are some, there's a few. Now, of course, now today we have everybody knows him, but is all confused about what they know about him. But most people, I mean, even the Muslims will say Jesus was a prophet, you know. And I don't know of anybody that says Jesus was a bad person. In our, you know, they just don't believe in him or whatever. But if God's working, you know, God will bring him in, and you have a plan before you, and you want to take them as far as they'll go, to where you know, they're yielding and you're leading them, and when they're ready to pray, then you want to lead them in a simple prayer, you know. And again, God's already working in their heart, you know, and they get saved, they'll pray that prayer. But remember, they're probably saved before they prayed the prayer. Okay, God saw the heart. The moment the heart trusted in him. Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh. Therefore, the issue's already settled in the heart. The mouth is just echoing what was done. And that's the way it works. And that's what God sees. All right. Very good. Any other questions? Or?
So if you get to a point where you don't get any further, would you try to send them off like a tract? Or would you just kind of...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely want to give a tract. And so, well, here's where we're at. You know, here's our phone. If we can help you, our phone number's in there. Or here's a track that might be helpful. This goes over some of the things that we went in the Bible. You always want to send them off with a track if we can. So you want to have a you know, some tracks with you, Brother Dennis. Not with those that have taken tracks. If they go through if they get saved, then we'll do all the follow up on them that we do when folks get saved. So in the past we haven't kept any kind of cards except for those who got saved. And yes,
will we have any like tracts for now that you're saved, or Gospels of John, or anything to give them?
We will have, yes, we'll have some Gospels of John. We'll have some Now That I'm Saved tracks. And I have some, I was kind of hesitant about using them, but I think I will anyway. I have some old school regular Baptist Press discipleship booklets, but they're dated. You know, you can they're not going to talk about, you know, internet, and I know they're that old, but
we can give those to the old people.
But you can tell they're dated. But the principles in it, I mean, it's right on. Matter of fact, they're probably more right on than some of the new books they have out, that the same company has out right now, unfortunately. But a lot of times the old stuff's the best stuff when it comes to the Bible. But we'll have some of those. We'll have some stuff to give those that get saved. And now that I'm saved, tracks. I think we had, the most we had was the first year, we had 17 saved. So the first year. So most of them were teenagers and or college students. Teenagers and college students, I think, that was the most of them.
That kind of brings up a point. So
yeah.
At what age should you try to talk to someone?
Yeah, that's a good question. In the past, we haven't, because parents a lot of times let their children wander. It's kind of like, it's a hard one. I know when we're at the door knocking, if a little child knocks at the door, we don't, you know, is mommy or daddy home? And I kind of feel that's the same thing because they're not there alone, their parents are there, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know that I'd, you know, try to.
Little kids like my kids.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
But I would say if you can discern that they're probably teenagers, then.
Yes. Oh, teenagers, yes, I would, yeah.
I guess so,
yeah.
Basically someone that.
Yeah. Teenagers, I would. Because a lot of times they let them go, they're on their own. The teenagers. I mean, they don't even care what bus they ride home from school or whose house they get off at anymore. You know, it's like doesn't matter to the parent. A lot
sometimes
of them.
Sometimes that's the 8,
so,
9, 10
year olds. Yeah, it's getting lower all the time. But yeah, if they're I wouldn't be afraid to, you know, take someone who I'm sure is a teenager in high school whatever and take them all the way through it if they're wanting to go. I wouldn't be afraid of doing that. Yeah.
You could give a track to a younger one though.
Yes, you could give a track to a younger one. And by the way, we're in the fair. If they're letting them wander around by themselves, that's what we're there for, okay? We don't have a sign. We'll have the crosses up there, and, you know, and we're not trying to hide the fact that we're a church and we're there with a message, okay? Brother Dennis, did you have something?
Just saying, during the day, there's a lot of 4-H people that are anywhere from age 10 to college.
Right, yes.
So they'll be in and around.
Yes,
fairly
regular, so. Yeah. I'd be comfortable with high school age teenagers, taking them all the way through. You know, the littler ones, I wouldn't be comfortable taking them through that because they're almost at the age where they're going to say yeah to everything because you're the older one. They're going to say yeah to everything because they almost require a little different lesson than what this is here because they have to go beyond yes and no questions leading them to salvation because you're an adult. If they have any kind of training at all, they're going to have respect for you. You know, they're liable to just say yes, no every time they want. Think you want a yes and no to every time they think you want a no. You know, so that's the danger of that's what you have to be careful with leading children to the Lord. You have to ask them, you know, different questions. You know, do you believe you sinned and can you think of a sin that you've done? Can you name what is something that you've done that's a sin? You know, so that they know that they're giving you. Oh, well, I lied to my brother, or you know, I stole my sister's ice cream cone, or something. You know, whatever it might be. You know, but and did you do any of those, Phoebe?
She giggled when he said that.
Yeah, that's funny, huh? I've done those things. All right. Yes, that's right. That's why I got saved. Because that was bad enough. I needed to get saved. Just if that was the baddest thing I did, I'd need to be saved. Amen. All right. Any other questions or concerns? Okay. As I mentioned, I'll have, I think how it's going to work is you'll come up to the fair there. I mentioned the Horseshoe Drive. I think I talked about that the last time. They'll have the booth there, and you'll just pick up to let me know you work in the Mid Valley Baptist Church booth, and they'll have our passes there, so you'll get your pass and go in and park and go in, and then I'll keep refurbishing the booth. As on your way back out, you can drop your pass off at the booth there again, and or I can just have, I can just probably just, have somebody from our walk them out and take them out there. We get a few of them in the booth there. I just need to make sure we only get five, so I need to make sure I have enough. They're rotating enough that they're out there for the people that are coming in. So.
And that's for parking.
That's for parking and general admission. Yes.
It'll only be one ticket.
It's only. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it'll only be one ticket, but I haven't seen it yet, so I'm not sure.
Why wouldn't we have to walk them out? Why can't they just leave it with us?
They could leave it with us, but then we'd have to walk them out. We'd have to take them ourselves out to the booth where they have to pick them up, because they can't park, get in and park until without that ticket. So there's a booth.
We would have to take them to the booth.
Yes.
But if they had enough still at the booth, we could turn them all in at one time. It wouldn't have to be every time somebody left.
Right.
But there's only five.
But there's only five tickets, so that's where we might have to have, I think at the most we have two people coming in at one time.
Oh, so if two people come in one car, they still need two passes because they need two to get in.
Yes.
So
yes.
The fare itself.
Yes.
One,
yes.
They need one car to park.
Right. Yeah. And if anybody wants to work, if you're not on schedule on there early in the day, and you want to slip in just for a little while during some of those times when it says help, welcome. If you can slip in early and at the booth just a little bit, and then what happens is when you leave, you get your hand stamped, and you can go in the rest of the day. So you're parking, even if you work for the booth just a little bit, if you go in early, do an hour or something, leave, they stamp your hand, you're good for all day and all night of whatever that day is. So the parking and that. So just something to think about if you want to do that. So I know some of you, Austin and Lindsay are coming in late, both their times. They're coming in the end of the day on Thursday and Friday. Wednesday and Thursday. So. All right. Any others? All right. Let's be praying. That'll be the main thing, is to be praying and do the best that we can do, and watch God work. That never changes. We pray, do the best that we can do, and trust God to work. Amen. It just never changes. And amen. All right. Well, why don't we sing a song and we'll be done.